start to learn. You're brave people. Speaking of serious nefesh that you came on such a night. It's very, very, it's a very difficult thing to leave the house on such a night, unless you don't have heat in the house. In which case it's no big deal that you're here because it's warmer here. But Stam, it's very, very admirable. So shkarech to all of you for coming. Really, I thought that I didn't think that that there would be anybody here. Baruch Hashem. Good, so we have a lot to talk about. So we have a lot to learn. This Shabbos is a special Shabbos. It's called Shabbos Shira, the Shabbos of Song, Shabbos Shira. And it really is a combination, it contains within it a combination of a number of Shiras, a number of songs. It's not just the Shira, the reason it's called Shabbos Shira, the simple reason it's called Shabbos Shira, of course, is because we read in the Torah the Shira, the song of the Jewish people as they cross through Yam Suf, which we say every day, Oz Yosher Moshe of Bnei Yisrael, the song when we cross through the Red Sea, which is why it's called Shabbos Shira. But the truth is that the song, the Shira of this Shabbos has four parts. There are four parts to this melody. There are four qualities to the Shira, to the song of this Shabbos. One is that Shabbos itself is a Shira. Every Shabbos. We'll talk about that. Every Shabbos itself has a quality of song. The first song that was ever sung was the song of Shabbos, of Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos, Tov LaHados LaHashem, of Adam HaRishon, of Adam singing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, singing to Hashem. So, Shabbos itself is a song. That's the first part of our melody. Shabbos itself is a song. The second thing, of course, is that the parasha itself contains, as I mentioned a moment ago, that the parasha contains the great song, the song of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jewish people crossing through Yam Suf. So that's the second part of our melody, of our song. The third part of the Shira is the awakening of Tu B'Shvat. Generally, Tu B'Shvat comes out in the week of the Shira. When it doesn't, like now, it's unusual. We'll talk more about Tu B'Shvat Mitzvah next week also. But it doesn't make a difference because the week, this time from Chodesh Shvat till Tu B'Shvat is the awakening of all the mysterious forces of Tu B'Shvat. So there's a song of Tu B'Shvat. What that is, you know, we all know there is one song for Tu B'Shvat, but there's a song, there's a Shira in Tu B'Shvat itself, which we'll see. We'll talk about. And the fourth Shira, the fourth aspect of our song, of our Shira, for this Shabbos. Can anybody guess? That's a tough one. Okay, so far we have Shabbos itself as a song. We'll talk about that. Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbat, Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos, the song of Shabbos. The song of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jewish people crossing through the sea. The song of Tu B'Shvat, which we don't know what that means yet, we'll talk about it. And one final song. That's what we're singing. There's one final song. It's every single Shabbos this year, Shemitah. Every single day this year, Shemitah, the song of the seventh year. And we have to understand what that means. This is the seventh year. We're living in Shemitah now. The seventh year. So in order to try to connect all these different shiros, in order to understand Bechlal all together, what is the song? According to the Torah, what does it mean, Shira? Is anybody here with the name Shira? So what does the meaning of Shira? What does it mean? It's a very, very complicated thing. And for the next 45 minutes to an hour or so, we're going to just try to investigate a very basic approach to what is song, according to the Torah? What does it mean? And how do we connect the four parts of this song of Shabbos, of the Yam Suf, of the sea, of Tu B'Shvat, and of Shemitah? First of all, before we can go anywhere, we have to make a distinction between two different types of shiras. When we speak about the song, when we speak about the shiras hayom, the song of the Red Sea, or the song of Shabbos, the Shiras HaShabbos, then we're talking about songs that are, in the terminology of Halacha, Bekum Va'asei, which means they're active events that take place. There is the song of Shabbos, there's the excitement, the enthusiasm, the outburst of Shabbos. The song of the Red Sea when we crossed through Yamsuf was also a song that was sung with extraordinary energy, extraordinary power by Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jewish people. So we understand that that's what a Shira is, that's what a song is, and that's how people like us define Shira, an outburst of emotion. An outburst of emotion in a way that cannot be contained or articulated in words, in normal speech, and somehow through this medium of song, we have an ability, we are given an additional dimension of expression that we do not find with words. And with song, we can express this outburst of emotion. We understand that. It's connected to Shabbos. It's connected to the song of Kriyas Yam Suf. How exactly it relates to Shemitah, for instance, where the whole nature of the seventh year of Shemitah is its silence. As Davke says in the Torah, Vishavsa ha'aretz, Vishavta ha'aretz, that the land is quiet, the land rests. And it's different than Shabbos. There are certain similarities, of course. The similarities between Shabbos and Shemitah are obvious, and all this is what I'm talking about. But what is the song of Shemitah? We don't find such a thing anywhere. Mizmur Shir Lashona HaShviyas. We don't have a song of the seventh year. The song of the seventh year is Davke. It's silence. The land rests. Everything is quiet in the seventh year. V'shavta haaretz, v'shav saharetz, Shabbos Lashem. And obviously, Shemitah is going to be connected to Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat and the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. So what is the Shira of Tu B'Shvat and of Shemitah, and how does it connect to the Shira of Shabbos and Kriyas Yam Suf and the splitting of the sea? So we see, of course, that there are two types of Shira. There are two types of Shira. One, the first type of Shira is the desire to express wonderment and amazement and bewilderment when a person confronts something which is amazing and miraculous. It's something which is remarkable. Something which is not b'derech hateva, something which is above nature. When the supernatural suddenly intrudes upon the daily routine of a person's life, there's something supernatural that happens in a good way, obviously. So then it's impossible to express, and there's a shira that is born. A song is created. When a person stands facing some extraordinary event that is not normal. That's one kind of shira. But there's another shira, there's another song, and this is the one we're going to concentrate on tonight, because the first type doesn't really require much work. It's the second kind. There's a second type of a shira, where the essence of this song is dafke, predictability, consistency, order, structure. The remarkable interconnectedness of all things, of one thing linking with another, also creates a shira. That's also a type of song. This is Davke, nature expressing itself in its way. That's also a song. Now this is what we have to understand. The first kind of song, that a person faces a miracle, something amazing, something wondrous, that there's a song that takes place as a result of seeing that we understand. But we have to try to figure out more the second type of a shira, of structure, of order, of consistency. So there's something in Chazal that I think I once mentioned to you maybe a year and a half ago. There's something in Chazal that's called the Perek Shira, the chapter of song. Perek Shira. It's found in, if you look in a good siddur, you know, nice fat sitter that has everything in it that belongs in there. So you'll have also this, the Perek Shira. The Perek Shira is from Chazal. There's a statement, just to give you an idea. Listen to the statement that Rabbi Elazar says in the Medrash. I mean, Rabbeinu says, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says in the Medrash about the power of saying this chapter of song. And then I'll tell you what is it exactly. It says, Rabbi says, Kol ha'osek v'perek shira ba'olam hazeh, zoyche luma d'lulamed lishma v'lasos l'kayim, v'talmudim iskayim v'yodam. A person who is careful to say the Perek Shira in this world, this chapter of song in this world, is worthy to observe, to teach, and to observe all the mitzvahs in this world. V'nitzel mi'etzahara, and he is saved from the evil inclination from the Yetzahara. U'mipegara, and from all accidents, terrible things. U'mechibut hakever, and the person who says this chapter of song on a regular basis is saved even after death from the horrible curse of the Chibut HaKever, where the soul doesn't find rest, but the soul, God forbid, is tossed from one place to the other. It's a certain punishment that takes place even in the grave. Or Medina Shel Gehenim, this person is saved from the judgment of hell of Gehenim. Or Mechevlo Shel Mashiach, this person is saved from the suffering that takes place the days preceding the arrival of Mashiach. Umarech Yomim, he lives a long life. V'zoichli Moshe Mashiach ulechayil ma'abor, and he will be able to see the days of Mashiach and life in the coming world. Chayilom ha. That sounds pretty good. Sounds like a wonderful deal. Pretty much covers everything, you know, except maybe rent or something. Doesn't anything about parnasa, but everything else is good. It saves you from pegara. And it's noilam hazeh, it's good noilam haba. It saves you from the yetzahara, lishma v'lasais. All these things, if you say the perek shira, if you say the perek shira, this chapter of song, which I'm sure most of you never heard of, if you say the perek shira, you're saved from all these things, and you have these fantastic promises in this world and the next world. And all you have to do is to say the perek shira b'chol yom. To be occupied with the chapter of sin. Maybe it's not just to say it, but to be preoccupied with it. That already makes it less of a deal. But you have to be preoccupied with the Perek Shira. No. So what is the Perek Shira? So you should look when you get home at a Siddur. It'll be in the Oitzat Tfilas. It'll be in Rabbi Yaakov Emden Siddur. I don't know if the Sfaradim have it in the Sukkos David. I don't know. In a good Siddur, it'll have it. It'll be. So what is the Perek Shira? The Perek Shira is a remarkable, absolutely astounding list of how each thing in the world has a certain song that it sings to Hashem. There's a song of Shemayim. The heavens have a song. Hashemayim b'sabim kvod kelem aysa yodav magid harakiyah. And for each thing in the universe, Chazal bring a pasuk related to that manifestation of God's greatness. So when it comes to heaven, so brings the pasuk of Shemayim. Each Shemayim says this pasuk. That's its song. It sings this song, Shemayim. And then Eretz, earth, and it brings another pasuk. The Naharis, the rivers, the Yomim, the oceans, the lakes, the birds, the horses, the zvuv, a fly, has a shira. The shemesh, the sun, the kechavim, the stars, the ruach, the wind, the ilanos, the trees, the peros, the fruits, shrotzim, crawling creatures, nemolim, ants. Every single thing is given a pasuk. And this is its shiva, this is its song. So everything in the world has its own song. Now if a person is not initiated into the teachings of Chazal, and you look at this, you have to stumble across such a thing, that the flies are singing, and the blades of grass are singing, and the rivers are singing. So you would dismiss this as being some sort of a ridiculous, God forbid, a ridiculous fairy tale. What does it mean that they're singing? We say every Friday night in Davening. every Friday night, Naharo Simcha Uchaf, Yachad Harim Yirayneinu. What does it mean? Naharot Yimcha Uchaf. What does that mean? Naharot Yimcha Uchaf. Said every Friday night. What does it mean? Naharot Yimcha Uchaf. That the rivers are clapping. Naharo Simcha Uchaf, Yachad Harim Yirayneinu. Together with the mountains who are rejoicing. So this sounds like right out of a children's book. You have rivers clapping and mountains dancing. It's very charming. And the flies have a song. It says the achborim, the mice, the rodents have songs. And for each thing there's a pasuk from Tanakh. And that's the song. So the entire world is caught up in a song of praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Perek Shira means. And Chazal have these fantastic promises for the person who's Osek the Perek Shira, who is preoccupied with the chapter of song. Okay, let's understand. Let's understand. This is not a hard inning. It's not complicated. It's just a question of coming to terms with something that we just pass by a lot in life. We don't pay attention to. But it's there all the time. Kodem kol, I've spoken about this before. What is a song bechlal? What is a song? What does a song mean? So the Svarim tell us that the word shir, song, is connected to the word, the same letters as the word yeshar, straight. Something is straight. And the meaning of shir is that one takes different sounds, I don't know the musical terminology, it's chords, I don't know what they're called, those different notes. A person takes different notes, and somehow, depending upon the musical genius of the composer, different sounds, different notes are brought together, and out of the chaotic confusion of discord and disharmony, out of that noise, the composer takes these different sounds that are very, very different, could be opposite sounds, high notes and low notes, different sounds. The composer takes these separate pieces of noise and somehow brings them together in harmony, and in doing so creates a new structure, yeah? A new structure that had not existed. A new structure. Now, I used to listen, when you listen to a good song. A good friend of mine has a song, Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. You ever hear this song? Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. It's a beautiful song. So a good friend of mine wrote this song. I was wondering, how do you think of that? I mean, how do you come up with that? How did you work out that tune? How does that happen? How do you take together these sounds? Where does that come from? Obviously, a person who's not musical, even a musical person, but not somebody that's just extraordinarily talented. To create harmony, to create something new, and to bring a seder, that's the point, right? To make seder, to make order out of something that had no order, and to bring together such opposite noises and sounds. That's a song. That's what a song means. Different, varying, conflicting notes that the composer brilliantly sets in a certain line, puts them in a certain order, in a certain line, and it creates something beautiful, a song, a shir, something beautiful, something new, something that can take a person who's feeling completely cut off, despairing and low, and to lift the person to a great new place, something that has the power to take a person who's in a great new place and to throw him down to the lowest places of existence. Music. So it says in the Medrash, when David HaMelech completed the book of Tehillim, you can imagine what that was. David HaMelech was called the Ne'im Zmiros Yisrael, the sweet singer, the pleasant singer of the Jewish people. David HaMelech is the human embodiment of song. He is a song, David HaMelech. So on the day that David HaMelech completed Sefer Tehillim,
So it says in the Medrash,
Zocha Daitoyalov. He was feeling good about himself. He was feeling proud. He's entitled. He was feeling very up about himself. So it says in the Medrash. Omelef Nekarish Baruch Hu, the Dovr Mel Set Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Yesh Bir Yevolamecha Shomer Shiras V'Tishbachos Yosim Imeni. So Dovr Mel said, Hashem, is there any creature in the world that has ever sung to you, that sings to you such beautiful, beautiful songs and praises as I have? As I've just sung to you, as I've just completed with the Book of Tehillim? Be'osa Shon Nizdam Lotzvar Dayachas. Suddenly, when David HaMelech was thinking this thought, he didn't go around saying it. He was thinking this thought. That I just have completed the most amazing song that any human being has ever composed. Tehillim. So a frog comes hopping into the royal chamber. V'amrlo, and the frog said to David HaMelech, David, Al tazur daitecholecha. Don't get carried away, David. Don't be too proud. Don't get carried away. Shani Omer Shivas Tishbachos Yosim Imcha. The frog says, I sing songs in praise of Hashem more than you do. They're greater than your songs. V'lo'og, Ela Shani Osekes B'mitzvah Gadola, and I'm also very preoccupied with a great mitzvah. What's the mitzvah that the frog is busy with? Yesh B'sfas Hayom, at the shore of the sea, Min Echad, Shein panesoso kimin hamayim b'shoshu roiv u'notzchani ve'ochlani. There's a certain creature that lives by the water that has no panosa, that can't make a living, doesn't have what to eat, and when he's hungry, he's notzchani ve'ochlani. He overcomes and he eats me as his meal, as his panosa. That's what the frog says, and then the frog merely hops along and goes away from Dovin Malach. So once again, a person who doesn't try to understand Chazal on a deeper level. Read such a medrash that, you know, it's one thing that the mountains are clapping, the rivers are clapping, the mountains are jumping, and David HaMelech is having conversations with frogs. So, for those who Baruch Hashem, are trying to understand Torah on a deeper level, which all of you are, not to be satisfied with silly things, Chas V'Shalom, ever, and especially when learning. So, of course, we're talking about something very, very profound over here. Not a conversation with the frog, but the deep, profound thoughts of David HaMelech. And the point of the Medrash, that David HaMelech saw this frog. What's he saw it? The frog didn't say anything to David. The frog gave a croak, whatever it does, and went along. But David HaMelech saw this Svardeya. Svardeya, according to the Zohar Kodesh, comes from the two words, Tzipor Deya. And that's itself something to talk about. That's in the third Torah in Likutei Maharan. Rabbi Nachman has an amazing teaching, an amazing lesson about that. For those of you that still feel connected to music, which is not appropriate for Jewish people, so if you would learn that third lesson there in Likutei Maharan, you'd lose your taste for Goyish music very quickly. If you learn it seriously. Svardeya is Tzipor Deya. The bird of knowledge. And David HaMelech sees that Svardeya, that Tzipor Deya, and is reminded that there's a more precious, a more remarkable song than the Book of Tehillim. And what is the advantage of the frog's tune, of the shira, of the svardeya? What's the maila? Why is the song of the svardeya superior to the song of Tehillim of David HaMelech? Why is it better than David HaMelech's shira of Tehillim? Because there's a song that has words. There is a song that has a tune. There is a song that is articulated, that is verbalized, that is heard in this world. That's one kind of a song. There's another kind of song where there's no sound at all. It's the song of something functioning in the order that God established for it. I want you to understand this. That the word, as I told you, the word shir, song, is from the word yashar, straight. And the meaning of the song is when there are conflicting notes and sounds that are put into an order, and the Seder is formed here, that Seder that has been created, that order that has been created out of the chaotic mess, that is a song. That's what a song is. Now we're familiar to using the word, we use the word song with the song that we can hear, with the song that we can sing. But there's a different kind of song of people writing songs that voices never share. You know, this goes back a long time. Right? What does that mean, the sounds of silence? Not what they meant. But what does it mean, the sounds of silence? It means that I never in my life heard my father being a big Baal Tefillah, standing in a corner room crying and singing songs to the Baruch Shalom. And I never saw even my Rebbe preoccupied in the kind of exciting observance of Yiddishkeit that we've heard about the Bedichtva and the Baal Shem Tov and other tzaddikim. What I have heard from these people, I've heard the song of a Jew who silently, in the most dignified and honored way, despite all kinds of conflicting desires and temptations, establishes himself upon that path of Yashrus, of straightforwardness, in the world of a Shir, in the world of a person whose song does not consist of words, whose song does not consist of a melody that one can hear, but whose song is created by someone who has forged a straight path in life, whose actions are in accordance to the are in accordance with the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His whole life is Mesiris Nefesh, is self-sacrifice to fulfill the wishes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me explain by giving another example in Tanakh. This is the Seder. To make Seder out of conflict. And to do what the Rebbe Shalom wants you to do. That's a song. There are people who talk about God, who write books about God, who have doctorates in God. And don't sing that song of Yashus, the song of the Tzvardeya, of the Tzipor Deya, of the one of true knowledge. Another example from Tanakh. This is even more amusing than the story of the Tzvardeya. And this Beferish in Tanakh, it says the story, without going into any detail, in the book of Shmuel, when the Ark of Hashem, when the Aron of Hashem was captured by the Plishtim. So the Plishtim were having a lot of problems. They weren't feeling well. They were suffering agonizing physical pain, and they couldn't figure out what was the cause of this. So they came to the conclusion that, you know, it could be we're having problems by holding on to this holy ark that the God of the Jews is upset with us. So they decided, this is the days of Eli HaKohen, the book of Shmuel Aleph. So they decided to make a test. Basically, young cows were taken that had never ever carried any burden, that had never schlepped anything, and the Plishtim decided to make this test to tie a wagon to this cows, and to separate them from their calves, and to put the Aron of Hashem, the Ark of Hashem, in the wagon, and to set the wagon upon the road, there are two paths, and to see whether it would head back to the camp of the Jews or it would head back in the other direction. In the other direction, the calves, the little baby cows, were crying for mommy. So the question here was, are these cows going to go against their nature? The nature is telling them to stay with their calves. They were never taken apart from the calves, and the calves were crying, were screaming for their mothers. Are they going to go back to their children? Or if there's some unnatural force that is pulling them towards the camp of the Jews, that will be a sign that the cause of our suffering is that the God of Israel is angry at us. So we'll send it back to them. Good, so that's the test. So it says the result of the experiment was, V'yishar nahaparos b'derech al derech beis shemesh b'mesila achas holchu haloch v'go'o v'lo soru yamina smol. An amazing thing. It says, V'yishar nahaparos, that the cows walked straight, on a straight path, b'derech al derech beis shemesh, towards the Jews. B'mesila achas holchu. On one path, on one singular path, they walk. Haloch v'go'o, screaming and crying. Because their kids, their babies are behind the other way saying, oh, mommy, where you going? And they were never separated before. And they never slept anything before. So they went to Mesila Achas while they were crying. They continued to walk while they were making these noises. These non-musical noises. They walked directly towards on the Derech Beis Shemesh to the Yidden, to the Jews, in that direction. V'lo sorry, you mean small? They did not veer off the path, this Mesila, not to the right or not to the left. It's in the sixth chapter of Shmuel Aleph. Just look at the whole story. So Chazal say in the Gemara of Adazor, Dav Chof Dal Amud Beis. So Chazal say in the Gemara, V'yisharna, that they went straight on the path. The word V'yisharna, they went straight on the path. So Chazal say, Hein Amru Shira, they began to sing. The cows began to sing. So the cows are kicking up their feet and they're singing a song. And they're heading back to the Jewish camp. V'yishar nehaparaz. So Chazal say, Hein Amru Shira, they began to sing. So you hear the meaning of this. Look at the dichotomy that's set up. That's established between the plishtim and the behemoths and the cows. The plishtim are running away from free choice. You know, the word b'chira, free choice, is the same letter as the word b'richa, running away. To be b'chir or to be b'reach, that's man's choice. To choose or to run away from choosing. So the plishtim are b'chir to be b'reach, right? They've chosen to escape. That's what they've chosen. But they're running away from free choice. And instead they say, look, oh, no, we can't handle this. We can't handle this, so let's take out our, what's that board, you know, the Ouija board, what's that called? Yeah, they take out the board, they set up the cows, you know, the eight ball, the rabbit's foot, and they say, okay, let's see what happens. And they put the cows over here, because they're not going to, look, they were having a hard time, they were suffering from a horrible disease, something is wrong. To make the choice, they can't make the choice. So they leave it up to the behemoths. They leave it up to the animals. So that's the choice of the police, not to choose. To run away from choice. To mess up God's song. Man's running away. Man's escaping from what he's supposed to be doing. Is causing discord and disharmony in Hashem's song. And what about the cows? It's such a beautiful thing. Now you're wondering, so what's the big deal? The cows don't choose anything. Behemoths don't have free choice. I mean, self-concept, what's going on? But the point that the Navi is making, that's being made by Chazal and being made in Tanakh itself. The Yishar and Haparas, even though their babies, the calves, were crying, and the basic cow instinct was telling them, go back and stay with the children. Don't schlep this heavy thing anyway. Why would you go away from the children? Why would you want to schlep? That was their natural instinct and temptation was, the sound of this world was, don't go towards the camp of Bnei Yisrael. Don't go where God wants you to go. And yet the Navi says, crying and screaming and longing for their children, they walk towards the camp. And Chazal described this march of the behemoths, this march of the cows, as a shira, as a song. Screaming and crying and frightened and not knowing why they're going and where they're going.
They were singing an amazing song. The Yishan HaParos, the Chazal say, in Amru Shira. They sang.
This is the song of Maisa. But not, the point here is not whether animals have free choice and how they were rewarded. That's not the point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu used them to bring out a point. And the point that's being brought out is Yod Asher Koneyu. An ox knows its master. V'chamor Yivus Ba'ilov. And a donkey knows who gives him to eat. Yisrael Lo Yoda. The Jewish people don't know. Ami Lo Hisbaining. And my people do not look, do not understand, do not contemplate, don't care. And the point is that the Baruch Shalom is saying, look, the world is singing a song. There's a Perek Shira. You want to be part of that song, or you want to destroy the song? Because the whole song depends on you. The Paras are singing. And what's the song? The Shir is Yasha, from Mesil Achas, Nishkan Chachmas. You think like this, you're tempted like that, your children are crying, you're tortured, you're bleeding, you go from Mesil Achas, what the Baruch Shalom wants you to do. Yasha, straight. Mesil Sisharu, that straight way. That's the meaning. Oz Yoshe Moshe of Neisrael Sashira Hazos, in this week's parasha, then Moshe Rabbeinu would sing the song with the Jewish people. Sashira Hazos, this song. So Chazal say, on that pasuk of Oz Yoshe Moshe of Neisrael Sashira, Oz, then Moshe will sing. Right? Oz, Aleph Zayin. Oz Yoshe Moshe. Chazal bring the pasuk, Nochem Kisacha Mi Oz, that God's throne was established with Oz, Aleph Zayin, from then. From when? La Nesiashav Kisacha V'la Nedaita V'la Melcha Ad Sh'omu B'necha Shir, Chazal say. That Hashem's throne was not firmly established. He was not known in this world. God wasn't known to the world until His children sang this song as they walked through the Red Sea. It was Oz Yoshe and Moshe. Then Moshe sang. So Chazal bring the pasuk. Nachon kisacha me Oz. God's throne is established from Oz. I will sign from then. Then meaning from the time that they sang the song when they crossed through the Yamsuf. That's when Hashem's throne was firmly established, and that's when Hashem became known in the world. That's what Chazal said. So the Sfasem says, the Sfasem is the guy Rabbi explains, what's the meaning of this? That when did God's throne become established? When did God's throne become firmly established? From the time that this song was sung, from the time of Oz Yoshe, then God's throne became established. So Sfasem says, Shabbai Sabriya, that the time that Hashem created the world, if you have a Sfasem, it's in Tov Resh Laman Aleph, Mishal, that the time that Shabbai Sabriya, at the time that Kosh Baruch created the world, Nistarash Bechosu Ba'ilam, from the time that God created the world, His involvement, His presence was concealed, was hidden. When the Jewish people were redeemed from Mitzrayim, and the completion of the redemption of Egypt, the completion of leaving Egypt took place by Kriyas Yamsuf, by the seventh day Pesach, when we went through the water. So from that time on, the Sfasem writes, Nizgala, Hashem's presence was revealed, Nizyayishev Kisacha, meaning that the awareness of God's presence became firmly established in the world. Until the time that the Jewish people sang that song and went through the water, God's presence was not part of the cognizance, of the awareness, of the thoughts and feelings of this world. It was a possibility, but He wasn't, as Chazal say, He wasn't established. That God's throne became firmly established and permanently erected in this world, that throne, when? From Oz Yashir Moshe, Uvnei Yisrael, from the song. Because until then, Hashem's presence in the world was hidden. From the time of the crossing of the sea, Sasemis says,
The awareness of God's presence became settled in the minds of this world. It became settled, became established as part of reality, that there's a God in the world who's not just out there, that was there before also, but a God in the world who's involved, who's on top of things. That became established here. Therefore, this Vasemis writes, this is the Indian of Perik Shiri, Shesha Kol Nivra Shiva Shavach Lashem. So the Sema says that every single thing in the world, every creature in the world, this is the meaning of the song of Shira, the Perek Shira. That every single thing in the world has its particular song. That's why it says that Moshe and the Jewish people sang Es HaShira HaZos. That song. What song is that song? So the Sema says, HaShira HaYedua, the known song. The famous song. The old song. Shira HaNevram, the song of all creation. Sasema says that Geula redemption means freeing, releasing from exile, removing from a state of concealment and exile. That point in every single thing in the world that proclaims the existence of God, that proclaims his dependence upon God. The whole world was in a state of exile. Az Yashir Moshe Svasem means that Moshe and the Bnei Israel caused as Ashir Hazos to be sung. The word Yashir means they made it sung. Az Yashir Moshe of Bnei Israel Ashir Hazos. That Moshe and Bnei Israel then, Yashir, caused the song, the old song of creation, to be sung. It's like that song of creation was waiting in exile for thousands of years. Well, not thousands. But from the time of Bereshit until the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that the song of all creatures, of the flies, and of the heaven and the earth, of the sun and the moon and the stars, all that song, that was the point of Geula, the point of redemption in each thing, which acknowledges God's presence, God's life-giving force, that song was in a state of exile. Because man's awareness of God's presence was limited, and God was hidden. When the Jewish people sang the song by Kriyas Yamsuf, when they fulfilled their obligation to remove those things that are obstructing his own clear awareness of what? Of God's presence in all things. The recognition that I can't lift an arm or a leg, I can't open my mouth, I can't breathe one breath without the life that's given to me from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Sasemi says, that is the Geula, that is the redemption of the old song of creation that was waiting, waiting behind the scenes, waiting for such a long time to be redeemed by the Jewish people finding their place in that Shira. And the Sasemi says that therefore the word Shira comes from the word Shura, a line, or a kav, a Shura. Leos Hakol Nimshach Bekav Vishur L'Makar Hashorasha. That everything became tied by the Jewish people, like with a rope, with a shura, with a straight string, with a cord, to the root of all existence with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And until then, the world went on. A fly was a fly. This is that. Everything is what it is. When Oz Yoshe Moshe Bnei Yisrael Hashira Hazos meant the attachment of the cord of creation. In that shura, that straightness, in that path of the yishar and haparos, of the song of the cows, of the zvum, all songs of all creation were redeemed with the song of Bnei Yisrael. Nochem kisachem yaz, and the awareness of God in this world became firmly established in all things. In every maisa, in every action, in every word that's ever been spoken, in anything that exists in the world, there is a nekudas hachias. There is a point of life. There is a point of life of attachment to the Creator. That's called redemption. That's called Geula. The final Geula is when this is revealed in its entirety. But that's the point of Geula. That's why I once mentioned to you, more than once I told you in a shiur, that it's amazing that in Hebrew the word davar, thing, is from the word medaber, which means to speak. Kol advar medabrim.
All things speak. I'm not a linguist, but I would bet you that you don't have such a thing in any other language, that the word for an inanimate object, a thing, a dover, is the word libdaber, speak. Hadvar medaber. And that point of chiyas, that point of life, that is beneath the coverings that cause us to forget, that's called the nekudas hagula, that's the soul. That's the cord, that's the kav hayashar, the kav hashir, that cord, that line, that straight attachment to HaKadosh Baruch. Now we're ready to understand, now very quickly we have to finish up some things. Now that we've established this understanding of Shira in the world, so let's learn a little bit from the Zohar HaKadosh. Says in the Zohar, in this parasha, in the Hebrew translation, that when the Jewish people crossed through the Red Sea, every single person was able to know and to see those things that the greatest prophets were not able to see, were not able to know. And every single Jew that crossed through the sea said the exact same words, the same words. Nobody said one different word. And each person said the Shira. And nobody said it was in total harmony. Nobody said his word, that identical word, but nobody said it before the other person said it. It was perfectly coordinated. Everybody said it together. Ruach HaKadosh, Haya B'fik HaLechem Echad, and everybody had the power of the Spirit of Holiness of Ruach HaKadosh in their mouths. V'afilu Eilu Shebenoi Iman. Even the fetuses inside the mother's wombs, Haya Omrim Shira Kulam Kechad, was singing the same song together with the people who are living and breathing in this world. The unborn babies were singing the same song together in perfect unison and perfect harmony with the rest of the people. That's what it says in the Zohar HaKadosh. I mean, they were singing a song that became Torah. This is what they were singing is Chumash. Can you imagine such a thing? Like, you know, you are like, you know, you're walking home from the train, you're humming some old song. It's nice. This is a song that became Chumash. Became Chumash. It's part of the Torah. The Shekhinah is speaking through their mouths, mamash. God's divine presence is speaking through the mouths of the Jewish people when they were walking through Yam Suf. From Moshe Rabbeinu down to this unborn baby. From Moshe Rabbeinu to this little baby that wasn't even born yet. A song that has become Torah. Torah also means that means a direct path. You know that. Yorach HaToyim Badorach. Yorah means to show someone the direct path to a certain place, to get somewhere. Torah is the word Lahoros, to show someone the way to go someplace. So the relationship between Shira and Torah is very, very clear. Rabbi Kiva says in the Gemara that learning is learning only when it's sung. Only when you sing to learn. And we spoke about this once last year, that even though Chizkiyahu HaMelech, they wanted to make him into Mashiach, he was so great he could have been Mashiach, but because he refused to sing, Yishayahu HaNavi begged him to sing. Zamul Hashem, Ki Geyus Osa, Midazos B'chol Haaretz, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that because Chizkiyahu the king said, what do you mean, I'm learning Torah, and I'm great in Torah, and I teach a lot of Torah, and singing is not my thing. So I'm not. So because of that, he couldn't be Mashiach, he says. He was disqualified. So what's so amazing about this song by Yam Suf? What's so amazing about this song that took place by Kriyas Yam Suf, by the splitting of the sea? What's amazing is the emphasis that the Zohar places on every single person's own song. The Zohar goes out of its way to tell us that every Jew sang, and every Jew had his own song. It came out in the same words. It came out in the same words. Like, you can imagine, they were walking through and they started, like, Ashir Lashem Kigogah, they started looking at each other. How do you think of that? I felt like saying that. How do you think of that? And it's an amazing thing. Like everybody says, and all together, millions of people. Ashir Lashem Kigogah, Susra Ramavayam. How do you think of that?
Now, this isn't Mary Poppins, Chas V'Shalom, where it was prepared and written for years in advance, that everybody should all of a sudden start, you know, chim-chimming away. And this is real life. And all of a sudden, everybody starts to sing together. Ashir l'Hashem ki gov ga'ah, sus rach v'rabba v'yam. What the Zohar Kodesh is telling us is very, very important. It's telling us that the essential song is that every person lives according to his own way in serving Hashem in the way that he knows how to, in the way that Hashem prepared him to serve. What Absadik says in Sikkas Absadik, that I've spoken about before, we're talking about in school a little bit, Absadik says in Sikkas Absadik Kufnun Dalit that it's not enough for a Jew to believe in God. It's not enough for a Jew to believe in God. It's not enough to believe in Hashem. The essence of being a Jew, he says, is that to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an Eisik Imo Befrat, to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has some personal business with you individually. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem, your God, in the singular, not Elokecha. God wasn't like speaking on the public address system. Elokecha, I have a business with you. With you specifically, I have an Eisik. I care about you specifically. And this is learned out, Reb Sadik says, from Kriyas Yamsu, from the splitting of the sea, where it says, Vayaminu b'Hashem b'Moshe Avdo, they believed in God and in Moshe. Moshe is the manifestation of all Jewish people. Vayaminu b'Hashem Moshe Avdo means that they believed in God and they believed in themselves. Believing in themselves, believing in Moshe, means they believed in the Jewish person. Believing in the Jewish person means believing that the Baruch Shalom loves every single Jew, and the Baruch Shalom created every single Jew with his own distinct purpose, with his own distinct talents, with his own distinct abilities. There is no general admission to the Baruch Shalom. There is no such thing that this entire, you know, we have a group plan, that this entire group serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu only by davening and not by learning, and this one learns and they don't daven. Or this particular group serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu by, serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu by shaking a lulav 5 times a year instead of shaking it just on Sukkot. And this one has his, and this community serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no such thing. You're not part of it. There's no general admission to the Rebbeinu Shalom. There are customs, and one should stick to customs. And those come from a very holy place, and that's a separate discussion. That are connected to Chassidim, and among the Chassidim you have different customs from different Chassidim, from the Hungarian Chassidim, from the Polish Chassidim, from the Russian Chassidim. And then you have the Minhagim of the students of the Vilna Gaon, and the Litvish Jews. And you have the Minhagim of among the Sephardim, you have the Persians, you have the Syrians, you have the Taimanim, you have the Moroccans, you have the Tunisians, you have the Afghanis, and they have different Minhagim. But Sof Kol Sof, your path to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your own private business, within the framework of 613 mitzvahs in the Shulchan Aruch, of course. What you need, and what brings you close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is that every person should believe in himself. Emunah means not the belief that God watches the Jewish people as a whole, but the belief that I specifically and uniquely have a place in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's song, in the Seder, and if I feel that I'm pulled towards Hashem in a certain way, and my parents or my Rebbe or my friends are saying, no, that's not your way, you must do it this way, our way, so then you should know that caused a horrible, horrible crashing sound in the Baruch Shalom's song. Hashem created you with certain karichas. Each person was given certain karichas, certain powers, certain predispositions, certain netiyas, certain tendencies to form out of the conflict and the chaos, to try to create some beautiful song, to take all the different sounds and to bring them together to create with the aliyas, with the high notes and the yiridas and the low notes, to come to forge some sort of a song of Yahshua. It's a straight path. It's your path. Chazal tells us that by Kriyas that the ocean split not just into 12 parts, as it says in one Chazal. There's another Chazal that says that the ocean split into a different alley for each Jew. Every single Jew had his own lane. Everybody his own lane. And didn't try to get into the other guy's lane. Everybody had his own lane. we understand what Chazal is saying. Just give me another 10 minutes or so. Now we understand what Chazal is saying. Says in the pasuk in the shir, Micha Malcha Vayelim Hashem. Who could be compared to you among all the gods? Micha Malcha Nedar Bakadosh. Who is as great and holy as you? Nora Sihilos Ose Fela. Hashem, you're too awesome that we should even praise you. We're afraid of praising you. Osef Pela, Hashem does wondrous things. So Chazal saying this pasuk, Micha Malcha Vayelim Hashem. Who can be compared to you among the gods? Chazal make it plain the word Elim, which means gods, and say that the deeper meaning here is Micha Mocha Be'ilmim Hashem. Who is as silent as you, Hashem? Who could be compared to you? You are so silent. Who is as silent as Hashem? Who hears? Who is subjected to as much humiliation and embarrassment as you, and yet you remain silent? Who watches your children being slaughtered and insulted and stepped upon and slapped and remain silent? Micha Mocha Be'ilmim Hashem. Who is as frighteningly silent as HaKadosh Baruch Hu? There are two kinds of songs. There's the song of Shabbos. There's the song of a miracle. There's the song of something wondrous and different that takes place. That's Micha Mocha. That's Nedar BaKodesh. That's Norat Tehilot Osef Pele. When Hashem does something wondrous, when He's Osef Pele, when He does something amazing, something different, then then this is the outburst of song and of praise for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one kind of song, but that's not the song that we're talking about tonight. The song of Shemitah, the song of Tu B'Shvat, is the song of the world living up to the expectations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in silence and obedience, despite all the things that are pulling the other way. There are 6 days of the week. And then there's Shabbos. There's 6 days of the week, the song is silent. Shabbos, you hear the song. The 6 days of work, the 6 days of this world, of trying to be a straight, upright, good Jew. Then it comes to Shabbos. Shabbos is an outburst of song. Shabbos is different. Shabbos, the world all of a sudden is transformed. Shabbos, the world is not natural, it's not normal, it's different. That's the second kind of song. But the song of the 6 days of the week means a Yid, a Jew, goes to work with a little Mishnah, with a little Gemara, with a little Tanakh. A Jew goes to work and sits in a place where there are people that are so different, people that say such, people that say things that are so much contradict all that we're supposed to care about and believe in. And the way people dress, the way people act is so different from the way things are supposed to be. And a Jewish person lives in that world, and just like the paros, like the cows, we yishar and haparos, with the yashus, with the straightness, not to compromise, not to give in, not to be embarrassed, to say your brachas, to live the way that you have to live, not to be ashamed of who you are, to be upright, to be honest at work, to be straightforward with people. Yishar Naharparis means in the midst of the horrible confusion and the disharmony, you bring forth your own sweet particular song that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you and you only the ability to create out of that chaos of where you are at that time in your life, of where God puts you at that time in your life. That's the song of the 6 days of the week. It's silent, it's quiet. You don't hear it. Mostly it's sorrows and it's mostly aggravation. But the Jew says his brachas and does his learning and keeps his eyes and her eyes in the right place and knows where he or she belongs and remembers that there's a God in heaven during the 6 days of the week. That's the silent song of the cows. That's the yashrus. That's the mesilas hashem b'mesilachas. With crying and screaming over mesilachas. On one path. Shabbos is a different song. The 6 years are the 6 years of the silent song comes to Shemitah. Shemitah is also an amazing thing. It's like Shabbos. I said at the beginning that Shemitah is different from Shabbos. It's different in time, in the amount of time. But the essential quality is the same. 6 years of working, 6 years of schlepping, 6 years of doing everything you should do while you're out there in the world, singing your silent song of being an Eilat Chayid, of being a good, honest, straightforward Jew. Without chachmas. No chachmas. You know what I don't like? I'll tell you what I don't like. I don't like multicolored taluses. You ever see people who wear taluses with a million colors? And I don't like them. I don't like them. I think that they're ugly. And they're trying to be beautiful. They're not beautiful. In my eyes. I'm just telling you. I feel comfortable enough to tell you my opinion. You should never, God forbid, if I see in a shul and you're wearing such a talus, don't be embarrassed. Okay, I have a lot of mishigas. It's a mishigas. I don't like multicolored taluses. You know why? It bothers me that for 3,000 years it was good enough for Jews to wear black and white talisim, and some guy's got to put on a talis with 50 different colors. That's how he serves God. I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like pictures of women with a thousand tefillin on. They put it on the Moment magazine, they sent to every school in New York. I don't like that. You know why? Because all of our mothers and grandmothers were happy for thousands of years serving God without a thousand tefillin. I don't like that. You know why? It's crooked. It's not straight. It's not ehrlich. It's playing a game. It's not a song. It's making noise. It's not a song. It's not the Baruch Shalom song. I don't like that. Oh, you're supposed to be your own person. You're supposed to be special and different. Chachmas. Chachmas with the Baruch Shalom. Don't play games. All of a sudden, some new way to serve Kosh Baruch with it. None of our bubbies and zaydis, none of our grandparents thought it. They weren't smart enough. Our grandmothers didn't put a talis over their head. All of a sudden, they're more religious now. The ladies now are more religious than the women of old. The women now put on talis over their head. And they have to go for an aliyah. Because our grandmothers didn't know. They weren't seeking God, our grandmothers. They weren't spiritual people. They were busy with kugels and cholas. And only the women now that go to this... to the schools and study all kinds of courses about Judaism, they're sophisticated women. They have to put a talis on their head. Because they're spiritual. It's a big fake. There's nothing spiritual. It's the most physical thing in the world. It's obscene. It's physical. It's purely physical. It's a piece of meat. That's all it is. There's nothing spiritual to it. Whether I'm probably insulting a few of you, insulting you, please forgive me. I'm a very, very big fanatic. But it's obscene. Then you have a person... you have a new thing. Have a guy says, this guy doesn't go to the movies. The guy says, understand, how can you be a true servant of God if you don't go to the movies? And the movies open up your eyes. You can't be narrow-minded. You have to be, God wants you to be. The Rambam is so open-minded. I spoke about this last night in the Sefer Mitzvahs. The Rambam is so open. The Vilna Gaon knew all the Chachmas. He knew so many different things. So many different things. He was such a bright person. Like they want to make it seem like the Vilna Gaon was a person. Like they walked around with a sweatshirt that said Vilna University on the back. the Rambam was like, on the football team in Cordoba, Spain or something. What a ridiculous thing. These are holy people, chachmas. All of a sudden, new chachmas in the world. New chachmas how to be a good Jew. That the only way to be a good Jew is by majoring in literature. That you're a good Jew. I'm not talking whether you're allowed to go, you're not allowed to go. I'm not talking to small people. I'm going to walk out here and that Weinberger was making fun of college and he made fun of... If you do that, then you should know that that's coming from a small place. And I'm sorry that if you're a small person, Chalila, you could say small things the rest of your life. Some people listen, some people don't listen. What are you going to do? But that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, don't regress. Don't try to create a song out of something that is not part of the Bernstein song. It never has been. Don't tell me that this is an essential feature of the Baruch Shalom song, that because of Moshe Feinstein never went to university, he's not as big a chacham as the chief rabbi of so-and-so and the head rabbi of this place and that rabbi, because they speak beautifully and they went to the university and they know how to be, and they read all kinds of literature, they're well-rounded. Chachams. Our grandparents weren't like that. Ain das, ain tuna. There's no intelligence, there's no wisdom in the face of to replace the fear of God, and that's all. That's the shaykhs. That's the tishana ha'paros. That's the silence of the Jewish people. So when the Jewish people came to Yam Siv, it says, Hashem yilachem lachem, God will fight for you. Don't daven, don't say anything about temtach harishon, be silent, right? That's what says the parasha. Hashem yilachem lachem. God will fight for you, be silent. What does that mean? God will fight for you, you should be silent. We weren't allowed to even daven, it says. Ma titzak elai. What are you davening? Don't daven. So Rabbi Yankovich Bitzis says that the truth of the matter is that davening is an amazing thing. Why do you have to daven altogether? If your heart is longing for God, so you don't have to say it. God knows what your heart is longing for. And if you don't think at all, you couldn't care less, then what's the difference about saying the words? So Lukash, you ever think of it? If you don't feel anything, why bother saying it? If you do feel, why is it necessary to say it? This is a separate subject, it's not for this time of the night. But Rabbi Yankovich Bitzis says, but of course the Jewish people are Hashem's children, of course our hearts are filled with all kinds of feelings, we don't have to daven. Hashem knows what's in our hearts. Of course. So what's the problem? The problem is the Egyptians. Oh, you have sorrows from the Egyptians. We have problems from these people that are not like us. They cause terrible confusion in our hearts, and our hearts begin to send confusing messages. But when it comes to Kriyas Yom Tov, when Hashem is going to destroy Egypt, when the Mitzrayim are going to be lying in their graves, so then it's not necessary to even daven. Because then everybody feels so clearly, with such absolute clarity and certainty, the deepest truth that is screaming and singing from the heart, which is Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to really daven. Davening is only to an exercise to pull out from the heart that which is being smothered by the mitzvim of this world. You understand? That's a very deep insight. It's a very, very deep insight. It needs more time. It's a hard subject. But that's Hashem Yilachem Lachem. The Egyptians are dead. Be quiet. You don't have to even daven. The heart sings. Why aren't we singing? Because we're used to we're hearing so many other sounds. So because we're hearing so many other sounds, maybe we can't sing. Well, we're tuned in to so many different things that we don't hear the song anymore. We don't hear the song anymore. We don't have that erlichkeit, that yashrus, that straightness. You grow up in America, if a person is not doesn't speak a certain way or isn't educated a certain way, you listen on the radio. Every 5 minutes there's an advertisement for verbal power. These different companies. It's a very nice thing, but the advertisement always tells you the same thing. And if you don't take our course, you're a stupid jerk. You want to know why? Because you don't know how to communicate, and people think you're a fool. Take verbal power, and then people will think that you're intelligent. You'll get places. Because then, like us, you'll be able to be on the radio and fool millions of people with your speech. That's what it means to me. I mean, that's what I hear. Verbal advantage, verbal power, all these verbal, it sounds like you're some sort of a hockey team. Like verbal advantage, verbal power. There's nothing wrong with a person taking a course. Don't think small. There's nothing wrong with taking a course to improve one's vocabulary. It's wonderful. What's wrong with that? It's good to be good at anything. Why not? It's fine. Especially if a person's a foreigner, they should work on the vocabulary. It's easier to communicate and to get along. Obviously, to succeed here, you have to be able to communicate. Fine. But this is what distinguishes between the men and the boys, the real people and the unsuccessful people, the ability to communicate. Listen, our great-grandparents and great-grandparents, who might not have been great communicators, but they were Elohim, they were God-fearing people. They were straightforward people. And it's such a delicious thing when you see a straightforward person. Rabbi Nachman says, I'm ending now. Rabbi Nachman says, I'll tell you. Rabbi Nachman says like this. In Reish Mem Gimel, look at the Maran, Rabbi Nachman says that there are some tzaddikim that they're so great. There are some tzaddikim that are so great that they're like Shira Shira. It's like the Song of Songs. Says in the Mishnah in Yadayim, Rabbi Kiva says, Kol Hashem Kodesh, Shira Shira is Kodesh Kodashim. All songs are holy. But the Song of Songs is Kodesh Kadosh. It's the holiest of holies. So Rabbi Nachman says that a tzaddik who we see is a tzaddik, that's holy. A tzaddik who is so great that we don't even know he's a tzaddik, that's the holiest of holies. That's what Rabbi Nachman says. Again, a tzaddik whose song we can hear, we understand, who's revealed, Rabbi Nachman says, he is called Kol Hashir. He is all songs. They're holy. It's fantastic. But there's a different kind of a tzaddik who seems to us to be a simple Jew. And he's called the Song of Songs, the Holy of Holies, the Essence of Essence, the Gula within the Gula, the simple, straightforward Jew, without chachmas. He doesn't know why. You have Jews that they've been saying, I used to see in the Bukharian section, because I used to be there nearby in Meir Sharm, so you know the Bukharians are over there. It's a little bit different than the Bukharian community here. The Bukharians there in Yerushalayim. Not essentially, but in the way things look. So you go through the neighborhood there, and it looks like, what happened to all the Sadiqim? Oh, that's in the other room. You know, like the wonderful lineup that you have over there. You see Jews there, there are Jews that sit around tables that for 70 years are saying things from the Zohar that they don't understand. I'm not the one who's leading it, the Chacham, the Mekubal, he understands. But you have Jews that they'll spend hours and hours a day, every day of their lives, saying things they have no idea what they're about. Any professor would tell you that this is the most futile effort in the universe. This is so ridiculous. And I say, and the Torah says, this is the most wondrous thing in the world. Not that it's a mitzvah to be ignorant. There are things that you can't understand, but the Baruch Shalom gets pleasure from. Fine. You want me to sit for 3-4 hours? I'll say it. Good. We can't do this. We're so out of that whole thing. We're so out of it. You know, I've met Jews in my life. You say, you tell them, good Shabbos. Why? Why is it a good Shabbos? Why? What does Shabbos mean? Why do I have to rest the same way that you rest? Why is it Shabbos? All right, it's not a good Shabbos. I mean, it's not worth it, you know. Forget it. I didn't mean it. May God help you. Wait, who's God? God never appeared. I never heard anything about God. You know, why do you rely upon God? Because it's the opium of the masses, you know. You have to rely upon God because my teacher in college told me that God, that Karl Marx thought that God is the opium of the masses because you're a weak person. So you even, okay, forget it. Now, I won't say God forbid. You know, of course it gets you so nervous. Gets you upset. There's a custom in Shabbos Shira. There's a custom in this Shabbos. There's a custom that Jews, who are careful with customs, keep. The custom is, maybe you didn't hear of it, the custom, I mean, by Ashkenazim, I don't know what the Sfadim do, but the custom by Ashkenazim goes back a long time, is on Shabbos Shira to put out food for birds to take, to eat, on Shabbos. Some put out before Shabbos, but don't put out on Shabbos itself. To put out side food. They put out kasha, it's put on something, put out kasha. Kasha of Irish, kasha. How do you call kasha in English?
Kasha.
Kasha? Oh, yeah? Okay. Eli kashi. Buckwheat? Okay, that's right. Okay, kasha. But to put kasha. Oh, no, this is already, iron is finished. Take them away. It's not alfalfa, it's buckwheat. So. To put kasha outside on Shabbos Shira for the birds to eat. So one of the tzaddikim, the Sadegera said, what kind of custom is this to put out for the birds to eat? So he says, This can be compared to a king who has all kinds of orchestras and all kinds of ministers that are singing and serving him and it's fantastic. And he has this little bird in his room. And when this little bird sings, usually it doesn't seem, when the little bird starts to sing, the king has infinitely more delight than his orchestra playing and all the whole symphony. So the Sadegeri says, the Baruch Shalom has all kinds of angels and all kinds of ministering angels that sing amazing songs to him. But the biggest joy, the biggest delight that Kadosh Baruch Hu has is when the Jewish people who are called by Chazal a tzipor, a bird, a wandering bird, the Neshama is called by the Zohar, the Kansipor, the bird's nest is the soul. So the Baruch Shalom has infinitely more nachas when a Jewish person from his world and his life sings a song, sings a shir, does what he's supposed to. Therefore, on Shabbos Shira, the Shabbos of song, we put out something for the birds to eat as a sign of recognition of how the Baruch Shalom loves the song of every single creature of this world when it sings it properly. And then the Sadegera ended by saying an amazing thing, a very beautiful thing. He said, but since it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to go outside to feed birds on Shabbos, right? Because you're not allowed to cause the animals to come to one place. So Gemara talks about it in Shulchan Aruch. You're not allowed to feed the animals outside on Shabbos, unless it's an animal that you have to take care of. It's in your reshus, it's your own personal domesticated animal. So the Sadegeri says, the birds, as mizanaseim alecha, that you're responsible for their food. And he ended up by saying that the Jewish people are the Baruch Shalom's personal little birds. And Mizanoseinu Alav, he's responsible to take care of us. Therefore, the minhag is of the Jewish people to show this, how we're the birds of his palace, not somebody flying out in the universe. We're his domesticated birds, the ones that he owns and loves. And when he hears a song from us, with all of our aggravation, all of our confusion, he tried to be Yashadik a person, he tried to be straight, he tried to be Eiluch. That's the greatest song that a person could ever offer. Kol Hashirim Kodesh, Shir Hashirim is Kodesh Kodashim. All songs are holy, but the song of the simple Jew is the holiest of holies. Now, Kodesh Baruch should help us that we should be able to sing the right way, and we should be deserved to hear the new song, the Shir Chodesh, the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, the Jewish people, each person will understand the point of Gula within him, and when those points are revealed, then the Gula will take place for all Klai Yisrael, and Mashiach will come, and will sing the song of all creation that was waiting from the days of Oz Yashir. Oz Yimal is like Pino, then our mouths will be filled with the song with laughter.